bird eye. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by
Death Wish Coffee. Death Wish Coffee is the world's strongest coffee. It's made from the strongest possible combination of perfectly roasted beans in a secret formula.
They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee. We drink it in the studio when we do the show. We drink it every day. Go get your first bag of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
People say, Jeffrey, what keeps you up at night? Death Wish Coffee.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. You may know me as the author of The Little Red Book of Selling. It is the best-selling sales book of all time. And to my right is the great, literally the hottest thing on the planet right now, the great Jeb Blunt. And he is going to introduce himself and tell you how great he is.
Yes. And, you know, we call Jeffrey the king of sales. I'm the jester of sales.
Cool. And so in just a minute, we will be talking to you about some questions that we have on the internet. Doug?
Yeah, we're pulling these questions from reddit.com/r/sales. Great community of salespeople who want some answers, and I think you two are just the gentlemen to give them.
Well, we'll give them our opinion. The opinion is based on thousands of speeches that are customized for customers, thousands and thousands of calls, sales calls, yep, and appointments. We carry the bag and give the speech.
That is true. You know, the thing about Jeffrey and I, we're practitioners. We sell every single day. I heard you at lunch today on the phone. A sales call came in. You're working a sales call. I sell every day. My staff sells every day. So we're not, you know, human beings that just woke up one day and said, hey, we've got answers for you.
Yeah.
We're probably making some of the same mistakes. In fact, we may have a question for you because we don't know how to do it.
And I should say that these questions are all about objections because, Jeb, I hear you have a book all about objections.
And it's called Objections. Brand new book called Objections, The Ultimate Guide to Mastering the Art and Science of Getting Past No.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty cool.
And you can buy it right now, by the way, on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Oh, you can pre-buy.
You can pre-buy.
When will the book actually be?
It'll be out in June. But if you pre-buy—
Wait a minute. You're pre-buying now for a book in June?
Well, here's the thing. My last books that came out, the people who pre-bought got the books about 3 weeks before everybody else.
Whoa.
Because the books sell out fast. I'm hot. You said it.
Yeah, you are hot. I agree. Totally hot. In fact, we have a camera guy who's taking your hotness, and I have my— antique Philadelphia Phillies uniform on today from Richie Ashburn, number one,
right.
Hall of Fame Richie Ashburn. In case my hat falls off, I do have my Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl champion
fly
hat.
Eagles fly.
Right, exactly. And we're just hanging out as sales guys. I love being a sales guy personally.
I love sales.
And I try my best to communicate in a transferable way. Doug, what's the question?
It's on your screen.
Oh, cold calling objection. Just send me information. Don't call me.
You know, when someone says to send me information, I usually say that, you know, all the information comes attached to me.
Right.
I'll see you on Thursday at 2.
Exactly. Hey, guys, struggling with this cold calling objection I commonly hear on calls these days. Right after I'm done with my introduction or I'm midway in the conversation, the prospect says, just send me information or email me, kind of like I did. Wondering if anyone has a good way of handling this.
Sure. Well, there's a couple of ways you can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I'll give you the straightforward way. You give us the pithy way. So the straightforward way is if I'm feeling froggy. Now, that's Southern for you Yankees out there.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
So that means that I'm at the top level of my confidence. It's the first thing in the morning. I've got a book full of appointments. I'm in good shape. If I do that, I do say, I'll be happy to bring you information. It all comes attached to me. See you at Thursday at 2. It's sort of the matrix, you know, objection handling. I just move out of the way, let it go by, and ask again. So it's basically meet with me anyway. And that works when you're super, super confident because emotions transfer. If I'm not feeling confident, I use an objection turnaround process that pulls out another objection. So typically when someone says send me information, it's a brush off. They're
right.
Trying to get off the phone without any confidence.
I agree.
And we accept that. So what I say is I act like it's the first time anybody ever asked me for information. I'll go, oh my God, Jeffrey, that's fantastic. I'm so glad that you're interested in our information.
You're the first person today.
Yeah. But the thing is, we got a lot of information, and as busy as you are, the last thing I want to do is just dump a whole bunch of stuff on your email.
Mm-hmm.
So what specific information would you be looking for? Now, about 80% of the time, they're going to go, look, I'm really too busy, or we already are happy, or we already have a vendor. So the real objection is going to come out. But about 20% of the time, they'll say something legitimate, like, I'd like to know more about blank. And my response to that is always, that's exactly why we should get together. That way I can learn a little bit more about you, and then I can tailor a package to your needs. And if you do that turnaround, most of the time you're going to get in and get the appointment. But the whole idea is to get past the brush off, I want to avoid conflict, and get them to tell you what the real problem is so that you can deal with that and flip that into the appointment.
Mine is, Mr. Jones, I'm more than happy to send you information because I think you should agree with the person rather than combat the person. But my generic information is not quite self-explanatory. However, there's part two of my information, which is customized information. And for that, we're going to need a little bit more dialogue. And then I'd like to show up and explain it to you, if that's okay.
I think that's great.
Is that fair enough?
That's awesome.
I use fair enough.
I love that.
I got my daughter, who's 8, using fair enough
why
now.
Why does that work? Because like, that's a, you know, when you, as soon as you say it's fair enough, I go, yeah, it's fair.
It is fair, right. Yeah. It makes you think, is it fair? And then you go, okay. And that's, it is the most definitive close on the planet.
It is, because what you're, it's like the other close I like is, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or that just makes sense. But I love this, that fair enough, because the other side of that is that you get the psychological benefit of moving away from them. And people have a tendency to move towards things that move away from them. So is that fair enough? You're saying, I'm not pushing, I'm not chasing, I'm not doing anything. So they immediately go, wait a minute, why aren't you asking for more? Why aren't you chasing me?
Now, there's one thing you have to decide about when the person wants information. Mr. Jones, a lot of people ask me for information, and it's usually for one of two reasons. Either they're genuinely interested, or they just want to get rid of me. Which one is it for you? And so you have immediately qualified that person,
right,
as interested or not interested.
Let's go back to Froggy, okay? You use that when you're at the top of your frog, right? When you are,
listen,
you've got top confidence.
I'm going to tell you, you use that. There's two reasons people ask me for information. One, to get rid of me. The other, because they're genuinely interested, which is it for
exactly.
you? And if you have the balls to ask that question, you have found a qualified prospect.
But that's why you got to be. I mean, you have to feel it, because when it comes across, what you want them to say is, "I really can't believe this dude just asked me that question. I got to meet this guy." You know,
exactly,
that's what, exactly,
exactly. Oh, I was just going to try to get rid of you, but you're actually kind of cool. All right, now let's go for the next one. I just started in sales.
Who is this by?
This is Objection Handling by Big Papa
Woke Lord. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Big Papa Woke Lord.
There we go. Everyone has a name. You know what I mean?
That's unique.
That's a pretty good one, yeah. I just started in sales. I sold cars for about 3 months over the summer, and then we went right into being an SDR for a digital print company. What is that, like a senior
sales? No, a sales development rep.
Got
so
it.
Basically, here's what SDRs do. This is the account executives who are too good to prospect talk the boss into hiring another layer of salespeople who
got
do
you.
All the prospecting
got
and
you.
Then hand over the leads that they get to the account executives.
So they can say, oh, that was a bad lead.
Who are
lead.
Good at closing. But
No, this is a bad lead.
It's a bad lead, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, it's a bad lead. But I have a problem with that. So if you can't ask for someone's time, I'm not sure how you're going to ask for somebody's
there
money.
You go. Yeah. So my issue is that I'm really bad with objection handling. Most specifically, we already have a vendor objection. I don't follow up well and often end the conversation too early because I don't know where to go from there. If you need, I can attach my basic script. I don't need that. But let me throw this at you. This guy should not be in sales.
Yeah, I'd be basically the point where they went boo and you ran would be the place where maybe your sensitivity
don't
to
let
rejection,
the door hit you in the butt on the way out. But
let's be serious, there are people who shouldn't be in sales. If you have a sensitivity to rejection that just makes you sick, let's glorify it. It's awful. Just go do something else.
Or learn how to overcome it in a way where you endear the other person basically emotionally,
yeah.
and then start to play from there. Look, if somebody says, we already have a vendor.
They're saying I'm already happy.
No, what they're saying is I'm buying your stuff.
From somebody
else.
It
doesn't matter. I'm buying
it. I know, but they're happy buying their stuff from somebody else.
They think they're happy.
And everybody's happy. Well, they're all happy when you call them. Everybody. Goes through a list of calls, basically, that we already have a vendor. We're happy.
Yeah.
And he goes, they're all happy. I go, well, no shit, Sherlock. They're all happy.
Right.
You call them up. You interrupt their day. They're like, oh, man, I'm so glad you called today. I was hoping the salesperson would call. They're happy. They're happy. Your job is to make them unhappy. You can't get them unhappy until you get their time.
It's an exchange. And Mr. Jones, most people that I talk to are happy with their present vendor. But let me share something with you. They're only happy with what they know to be happy. And we have an awful lot of customers that were happy with their present suppliers that now have chosen us. And there's three specific reasons, but I'd really like to be in front of you to talk to you about it.
Yeah, and I take a—
Is that fair enough?
I love the fair enough. I use a little bit different tactic because when someone says they're happy, what they're doing is they're moving away from me, and I want to disrupt their pattern. I want to paint the pattern and pull them towards me. So when someone says I'm happy, we already have a vendor. We're really happy with our current vendor. I mean, that's how you typically get it. People don't say I already have a vendor. They say, look, we're really happy with our vendor. That's just how human beings do it.
Yeah.
And I say that's fantastic. Anytime you're getting great prices – and great service, you should never think about changing. And I do that for two reasons. One, they're not expecting me to agree with them.
Correct.
So when I agree with them, I take the fight away.
Okay.
And then I'm priming them. So I'm putting into their head, am I getting great service and great prices? Totally at the subconscious level. So that's fantastic. Anytime you're getting great rates and great service, you should never think about changing. Look, all I want to do is come by, take a few minutes of your time to get to know you better. And at a minimum, I'll leave you with competitive pricing that will help you keep those other guys honest. How about Thursday at 2? And I almost never get no to that because it creates curiosity.
Yeah. What is the price?
Right. What's the price that will help me keep these other guys honest?
Just between Jeb and I, and we can argue about it, I never offer a time or a day because to me it sounds too salesy and I want to try to be more relationshipy. You don't go to your friend's house and say, would Thursday at 2 be better, or can I come over Monday at 11?
Right.
You just don't say that. You say, when can I come over?
And I always offer a time or day because I'm trying to control my calendar.
That's okay.
So I don't do two times. I just go, I don't
Thursday
like
two or three.
I just go Thursday at 2 because either they're going to say no or they're going to argue with me. But I find what salespeople do, and this is just from a strategy standpoint, you're like at your level, you've been doing this for, 15 years or so.
All week.
So, you've got a pretty good handle on how to put that pause in there, bring people in. What I'll find is that salespeople who don't control their calendar, they end up scheduling appointments in the middle of their next call block.
Yeah.
So they take their prospecting and they start removing their prospecting for appointments. And by saying, I've only got the time between now and this time, I'm much more in control of when people, throw something out to me.
The reason that I want the customer to give me a day and a time is because I know that's open on their calendar.
That's true.
And I want them to commit to it. And I try to make odd times. Like they'll say, well, I can do Thursday at 3. And I say, well, would it be possible to do 2:45?
Yeah.
And that way I know they've marked me in there. I know, or can we do 3:15? Because I need 15 minutes to get from here to there.
Well, I think there's some efficacy to that. I've heard my buddy Mark Hunter talk about the odd times and a lot of executives. Like if you're trying to get with an executive, most of their meetings are on the hour. So if you hit it like on the quarter of an hour, it's better.
There is, there's Zoe. There's a way that's so cool. I'll share this with you because I don't share it normally with competitors, but I consider you a friend.
We don't compete with each other.
I'm going to – you send somebody a proposal and you say, listen, Mr. Jones, I'm going to call you Monday at 9:59 a.m. And at 9:59 a.m., my phone is – I guarantee you that I will be on the phone and you'll hear it ring. You only have to do one thing. You can pick the phone up, go, and like this, go, yes, and hang up because it's me.
That's right.
And they laugh and they'll appoint you for that moment in time. They'll pick the phone up and say yes, and they're ready to either say yes or no.
You said something that I like. One thing? As we're talking about objection handling, and you are the master at this. Whenever I'm in a situation, I try to remember some of the things that you say.
Oh my God.
But you're the master at using humor.
Yeah.
To get people engage. That's not necessarily my shtick. I'm a much more – I have a much different approach to it. But I would love to hear you – share some of the things, especially because I think let's just take objection handling, but gatekeeper handling as well, because it seems like an objection, but it's not. A gatekeeper's for information,
right?
We don't try to overcome their objection. We just try to get them to engage.
Right.
There's some really neat things that you teach people around getting other people just to laugh, and when they laugh, suddenly they pull you in.
Well, the gatekeepers heard everything. I mean, they've heard every single, I'm friends with Bob, I'm returning his call, every bullshit thing. So if I'm either in front of a gatekeeper or on the phone with a gatekeeper, depending on how I feel, you have to hear the voice and feel it, you know what I mean? I'll say something like, ma'am, I know you actually run the place, but I'd really like to talk to the person that thinks he does. And you'll get through.
Right.
You'll totally get through. The other thing that I've done is not go to the gatekeeper. I go to the sales department because the sales department, they know everybody. They know everyone's golf handicap. They know what kind of car they drive. They know where they went to college. They know everything about everybody.
And they have their cell phone
numbers too. Exactly.
And you go, and I always just call the sales guy. I just laugh at the sales guy. I go, I'm just getting cut off everywhere. And
like, dude,
then they'll go, yeah, me too.
Yeah. So. I'll start out with the sales guy. I say, do you have any idea what a pain in the ass it is to get through to anybody in your company?
It's crazy.
So I'm hoping you're better at it than I am. I just need the name of the man, boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even, today, in today's marketplace, you can go on LinkedIn and you can find out the name of anybody. I mean, they're all on LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah.
So you find out who the target is. You do that 1 minute worth of research. Mm-hmm. Maybe you then do another one more minute and Google the person to see what pops up. And then you're ready. So when you talk to the guy in the sales department, Bob Smith is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming he's the guy that pulls the trigger. Am I okay on that?
Mm-hmm.
And, Bob's the guy. They'll boom, 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 boom. Okay, great. Now, what would be my best approach? And make that person tell you how to get to that decision. Well, he always comes in at 7:30 in the morning and he's always the first one. Man, they'll tell you everything.
Yep.
They'll tell you, he walks his kid to school and he's always here by 7:50.
So there's another way we talk about objections. There's another way to deal with objections. Doug's saying we have to wrap this up. So I'm going to leave you one more tip because you talked about 7:30 in the morning. Okay. I'm with a group of sales reps in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yep.
And they're complaining that they can't get in to see these decision makers, mostly working in manufacturing and logistics. Yep. So
I mean, this is
it's a fanatical prospecting boot camp, which we're doing live phone blocks, and there's a lot of instruction and coaching in the moment. So we were starting the next day. I made them come in at 6:30 in the morning. Just come in at 6:30. They cried and complained and whined in the bar, and we can't drink. And I don't care. Pencil. Come to the meeting room at 6:30. We did a little bit of role play. 7 o'clock. Got on the telephone. 5 minutes in, guy in the back's like, yeah.
Yeah.
What happened? He goes, I've been trying to get in touch with that guy for 3 years. Like, what happened? He goes, he just answered his phone. I said, yeah, because he's in manufacturing and at 7 o'clock in the morning, he's answering his phone. At 9 a.m., he's on the floor and he's not getting off the floor until he goes home. So you're never going to get him before. When have you been prospecting? He goes, well, I just kind of go by there around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, and what happens?
Dude,
you hit the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper's job.
He's deep in work.
So start early. Call on the weekends. But one way you just avoid the whole objection and gatekeeper thing is you just call people when they're sitting in their office. And by the way, at 7 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you call people up and you're working. They respect you.
Yep.
And a lot of times they'll give you time, even if they don't want to give you time, just because they think that you're a grinder and there's someone they want to do business with.
So the last word is objections are fun. Jeb has a new book out called Objections. You can go on to Amazon and pre-order it. I recommend that you do that pretty much right now. But I also want to tell you that if you're in the world of sales and you treat objections as fun and as a challenge, you're going
to
win.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great way of looking at it.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GettemerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.